ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 14th एंटाइटल्ड द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ एंजॉयमेंट टेक्स्ट नंबर 29। It's prose and it's quite big. The translation itself is more than half a page. So I will directly go to translation and then purport. Translation. The personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc, is called Hari Chakra, a disc of Hari. This chakra is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. It is always revolving and spending the lives of living entities from Brahma down to an insignificant blade of grass. Thus, one changes from infancy to childhood to youth and maturity, and thus one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is the personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the conditioned soul, fearing the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. Yet he does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead takes shelter of a man-made god described in unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion, and neither vultures, buzzards, crows or herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of unauthorized man-made gods cannot be saved from the clutches of death. Purport. It is stated, Harim vina mrutim na taranti. No one can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Mam eva ya prapadyante mayam etam taranti te. Whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of material nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes want to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnations, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in this age of Kali. There are many Pashandis who, without referring to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not referring to these authorized scriptures, rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form. But the Pashandis, the atheists and the cheaters are so numerous that sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters and bluffers. who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards and herons. Hare Krishna. The verse begins here by describing the personal weapon of Lord Shri Krishna, the disc Hari, which we call Chakra. And also it goes on, because this is the chapter being spoken to Maharaj Rahugna by Jad Bharat, describing very analytically and a good example the material nature and how the attempts of people in this material nature are frustrated in each and every field of activity to enjoy. Here he is saying that in this material world basically is called this chakra, wheel of time. This chakra has influence beginning from atoms up to this Brahma's death, and this wheel of time, it controls all activities, and it also therefore makes one undergo six changes of human being: birth, growth, staying for some time, producing byproducts, dwindling, old age and death. This wheel is very exacting. It is perfect. As we sometimes give example that many times our trains and aeroplanes or bus may become delayed. But it doesn't happen that it's 7 o'clock and we say, oh, where is the light? And we say, oh, somebody, today's sun is late by 1 hour today. And we don't experience something like that. The wheel or the chakra of Lord Shri Krishna is very exacting. It works very perfectly because it is the personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see in this material world, yesterday in our TTC class, His Grace Damodar Prabhu was trying to explain the importance of soul. He was raising the point that how everything, there are dualities. And he very nicely took many examples that what are the dualities in this world. We all gave us feedback like heat, cold, happiness, misery, success, failure. And the point which he raised was none of these dualities remain permanently. If you are happy now, you may be miserable after some time. Again, you will become happy. If it is hot now, it may become cold after some time. Similarly, if we see in this material world, actually, Lord Krishna also says the same philosophy if we analyze Bhagavad Gita nicely. He says, Ishvara Sara Bhutanam Ruddeshi Arjuna Tishtati Brahman Sara Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Maya. Here, the wheel, the chakra of time is given. And Lord Shri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is telling that this material world is like a yantra. Yantra means certainly a machine. But if you observe, especially mechanical yantras, those who are mechanical engineers can understand this better. And in the mechanical, basically there is only one type of original movement. You see, this is same because it is coming from all the mechanical engineering. They can only make one type of movement, that is circular movement. From circular movement, they have to get another movement. But they can only generate circular movements in their all factories. Therefore, we see it is coming from Lord Shri Krishna's chakra. Origin is there. And if we see a big mechanical machine, there is one thing is moving and there is another is moving. And third moving, some slow, some fast, some opposite direction, some going up, some going down. Maybe you can, if you have seen some multicolored printing machine or maybe some very highly automated automobile production industry where just raw sheet goes in and then everything takes automatically, things are moving, connecting one to another. And something, finished product comes out. If you just observe the machines, just things are moving up and down in a repeated order. Similarly, if we observe this material world, we human beings claim to be very powerful beings, believing on our strength to achieve something or to gain something or make things happen in this world. But if we observe from Lord Krishna's point of view, we can just see that just like a particle moving in this a big automatic machine, the human beings or the soul in this material world is just moving up and down in various ways. This chakra of time, if its effect is present in all aspects of this material world. Here one aspect is given, it's from atoms to Brahma's life. We can see the small chakra is morning, afternoon, evening, night. We are all rotating in one, this is one chakra which we are rotating our life. Then there is weeks, 7 days are rotating again and again. Then pakshas, then months, then years, then yugas, mahayugas, then manvantars, kalpas, then even Brahmaji's life. And ultimately is Mahavishnu's inhaling and exhaling. In this material world, if you observe, everything is like Krishna has set his chakra, and then the planets are moving. Around the planets, the satellites are moving. Within the planets, the water cycle is there, air cycle is there. Everything is moving in circular direction. And first movement is that of chakra of time. Lord Krishna is moving that, his time energy. If some of us remember Mahabharata serial which was there in India, it also showed the chakra of time. Main kaal hoon, if you all remember that. And then the chakra would rotate, and within that chakra, the whole universe would. And that is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. It was a bona fide part. That Krishna is given the original movements, just like if we set first motor into motion. And then on that, based on that motor, there are many movements happening in all the mechanical machine. And these movements are circular in nature. They are repetitive. One is there, again, the next phase is going to come. If we see one phase and it goes away, another phase is coming, it's for sure the first phase will again come back. As I was taking the example yesterday of Damodar Prabhu, he was mentioning these dualities, and he took to this duality of Socrates' example. He said that, Socrates said, everything changes, dualities. So another duality which we experience in this world is youth and old age. Just like all dualities, they change. They are never steady. If you are happy now, you will be miserable after some time. And if you are miserable now, you will be happy after some time. It's hot now, it's for sure that it will be cold after some time. And if it's cold now, it's for sure it will be hot after some time. Similarly, he says it's very logical that this duality will also change. Not only one way, from youth to old. But again, after old, it will again become youth. And again old. Lord Shri Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Dehino asmi natha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir. He says in nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sata. He says, what is that verse? One who has taken birth, death is sure. Yeah? Jatasehi dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janma murtasyacha. In this material world, if you observe, this whole thing is moving and is very temporary in nature. And the illusion living entity, they know that it is temporary in nature, but still they lament for the loss of it. It's very common sense. It's just like, I may be young now, but it's for sure I'm going to become old. It's for sure, there's no need to lament. It's only an effect of time energy. I'm going to become old. Some people in this world, they become influenced, and they say, they become happy that I am healthier now. I am wealthier now. But they should understand, if that adjective is given to them, that I am healthier, that means it's for sure they are going to become sick. And if somebody is sick, he is going to become healthier again. It's the cycle of time that is going to influence you. You may be very happier right away, that's wonderful. But be sure that you are going to become miserable. And that's what Lord Shri Krishna told to Arjuna in the first instruction. That those who are wise, they don't lament for those who are born or those who are dead, because this is going to come. It's going to change by the influence of chakra of time. If you are powerful now, like Muhammad Ali, it's for sure that you are going to become weak. We know this story of Muhammad Ali. He could not even raise his hand at one point of time. If you are teething now, That means after some time you will have teeth. But it's for sure you will again lose your teeth. We can see this happening in our life. The child in the baby form is bald. Then he has his hairs. But again he becomes bald at a later time in his life. So if you observe, actually Lord Krishna is just moving his chakra wheel. On that one gear, all small, small gears are fit up. And they are also moving in their own way in this world. And this whole world is like yantra. That is Krishna's yantra. Now this whole world is based. The original movement is Krishna's chakra wheel. And then sometimes hairs grow and then go away. Teeth come and then they go away. Youth come and old age come. These things, birth, death, happiness, misery, wealth, poverty, beauty is there. Again, ugliness in the old age will come. If we see this whole world, empires, they took birth, they grew, reached climax, very powerful king, perfect civilization, perfect rule, but again they dwindled. As a dwindling place, again a new empire took birth, again some political party came, it lost its glory. In this world, Lord Krishna is moving his chakra, and all small, small chakras are fitted to it, and they are moving on its basis. Lord Shri Krishna tells this chakra for body, as I told. Vamsansi jirnani yatha vihaya. And Lord Krishna told that this is the rule. He also tells this chakra with respect to going to heavenly planets or higher planets. In Bhagavad Gita itself, he says, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka. It's like a fairy, you know, in Ferris wheel, if you sit in that Ferris wheel, when you come down, you feel very anxious. Oh, just like you are going down. You catch your hand. But within few seconds, you are going to be relieved. And you will be composed again. This material world is like that. Sometimes we are very anxious. Oh, my money is losing. And my bank is going to close down. And I am losing in my business. But then as that time passes, kal passes, again my business may flourish. I may have a good amount of money. Again you go up and again you start coming down. Again you are under stress. What's happening? I am dying. Doctors' bills are increasing. But again the things will change. This world is an experience of Ferris wheel. Sometimes you are coming down and then you are holding the bars very tightly. And then you are down. Then you are okay. You are talking with your... Oh, it was such a fierce experience. And then you are in a talking terms with who you are sitting near. Again you go up. And again you feel something in your stomach. When you come down, the effects of stomach, they change. Sometimes it happens in material world also, this effects of stomach. Sometimes we have dysentery, and sometimes the opposite of it is there. What do you call it? Constipation. We feel sometimes, this effect is always there. Lord Krishna also says, Shine punne murtyu lokam vishanti. He explained this very point in detail in Bhagavad Gita. Then, he also told this wheel of time with respect to this material world. He said, Brahmaji's life, Bhut gramam sa evayam, bhutva bhutva praliyate, ratre agame partha. That in the day of night of Brahma, these things are created and destroyed again and again. It's manifested, remains for some time. That is the basic nature of this material nature. Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, an intelligent should not be affected by it. He knows, if I am happy now, be sure it is this stage is going to change in the Ferris wheel. And if I am miserable now, be sure this stage is also going to change. And therefore, he ultimately tells us, for buddhiman, those who are buddhi, yehi samsparshaja bhoga, dukkha yone vayate, adyanta vanta kaunteya na teshu ramte buddha. Lord Krishna tells that you are moving in this yantra helplessly. Yantra rudhani mayaya. Yantra this. Ferris wheel is also like a yantra and you are going up and down, which whole begins with Lord Krishna's influence of time. So you should not be affected. You just completely move away from this. In this material world, we are all undergoing various circular movements. But we don't want that. We want a steady state linear movement in scientific line, scientific term. We are undergoing circular movement. Everything in this material is undergoing circular movement. But we want one way. I am happy, I always remain happy. I am young, I always remain young. I am wealthy, I always remain wealthy. We just want, and we don't want only that. We want, I am wealthy, I remain wealthy, and my wealth grows on increasing. In one direction and with increasing effects. I am young, let my strength of senses increase more and more. And let me remain young permanently. I am beautiful, let me remain beautiful, at the same time become more and more beautiful. We all desire this linear movement with increasing happiness. But that's not possible in this material world. Lord Krishna tells linear movement in Bhagavad Gita also. He says, Mam upetya tu kaunteya punarjanma ashar dukkha. Let me read this verse. Yeah, Mam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahabhav. There he says these three things will not happen to you. If you come to me, punarjanma, you will be freed from this cyclic moment of punarjanma. You will be freed from this cyclic moment of dukkhalayam, happiness and misery. And you will be free from this cyclic moment of ashashvatam, temporary and permanent. A temporary thing is, you come to me and you will never come back. That is the one-way movement. In this material world, you may go till heaven or Brahma, like Ferris wheel, you have to come down. But which we desire, one-way linear movement, for that we have to go to spiritual world. Krishna says, one who comes to me, he says so many times in Bhagavad Gita, if you reach my abode, you will never come back to this material world. You will not take birth again. You will be free from this effect of Kal Chakra. You can, and then, as I said, if you go back to spiritual world, it's not that you become only happy. Anandam Budhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Punam Ruta Svadhanam. The spiritual life is not only happy, but it's increasing happiness every step. Lord Krishna is not only beautiful, it's increasing beautiful every step. The spiritual bliss is not only blissful, what we desire, it's not only unidirectional of bliss, but it's anandam bodhi vardhanam pratipadam. So that type of linear movement is available in the spiritual world. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam but purana purusham nave onamcha. If you don't want to change from youth to old, then that is in the spiritual world. Lord Krishna is Adyam Purana Purusham, but still he is Nave Onamcha. Otherwise, in this material world, temporary world, we again and again have to undergo these effects of Chakra. Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Gopal ji, Gornita, Lalita Visha ji ki. That is the nature of this material world. Everything comes into existence, it grows for some time, it remains, it dwindles and dies. If you want something of a permanent nature, that also with ever increasing capacity. We have heard in spiritual world, Lord Krishna, when he sees a flower tries to become beautiful to please Lord Shri Krishna. And seeing the flower, Lord Shri Krishna becomes more happy. And seeing that Krishna has become happy, flower tries to become more beautiful. So this, we cannot imagine how can flower go on becoming more and more beautiful. Is there any end to it? No, in material world, everything that becomes beautiful also dwindles. But in spiritual world, it's possible that you can just go on becoming beautiful unlimitedly. Or you can go on becoming blissful unlimitedly. You can just go on in the single direction. But in material world, because the original movement is coming from Lord Shri Krishna's chakra, this time, a wheel of time, everything is in rotational movements again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam, iha samsare bahu dustare. Is Shankaracharya says, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, again and again birth, again and again death. Again and again sleeping in the womb of mother. Like that. We are sleeping in the womb of mother. Then we get up, we walk, and we again sleep in the deathbed. Again we get up like that. But if you want to get free, we have to take shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. Then he can remove us from this entanglement in this yantra. If you want to get free from yantra, then you have to take shelter of mantra. If you take shelter of Mahamantra, then you can get free from this yantra rudhani maya. And then we can directly head towards spiritual world where all our desires will be fulfilled unlimitedly. Another point which has been made in this verse is that when a soul or a living entity in this world is going high, that's okay. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada in the 1965 put this banner, stay high forever. Because in America at that time, people would take drugs, they would go high and then again come down. Yesterday we also saw in our TTC class this many ways to relieve stress. But these were temporary ways. They can relieve your stress, but again the stress will come back. But mantra will relieve you permanently. If you want to get away from this yantra, rudhani, maya, you are just moving helplessly up and down in 84 lakh species, day and night, swarga and hell. Then you have to take shelter of Supreme Lord. But people do the exact this mistake. It is said, when the soul approaches death, he doesn't take shelter of Lord and his pure devotees. But he takes shelter of bogus people because they are giving shelter very easily. If you take shelter of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they say you have to follow four regular principles. You have to chant 60 rounds daily. And you have to practice sadhana bhakti with fixed determination. That's a bit difficult. Srila Prabhupada challenged. Many people say, oh, bhakti is very easy. Prabhupada says, just so-called bhakti of doing some agarbhakti and some charity once in 6 months is easy. But doing a serious endeavor in bhakti is not so easy. And you have to take to it. He says, bhakti is so easy, then why don't you take to it? Therefore, this conditioned soul, when the real time, imminent danger of death comes, they go in this material world to others like vultures, herons, but death is like lion. When the lion attacks, all the birds fly off. They don't stay anywhere over there. Similarly, the shelter of other gurus can't help. We have to take shelter of bona fide acharyas from bona fide parampara. And today we can see it's Appearance Day. Today he appeared on this occasion. And his life's mission was, one of the mission, was to defeat Mayavadis. See, his, here we can see his deity is making like this. Two. Whatever Mayavadis did, he did exactly opposite. Mayavadis named their philosophy Mayavad, that illusion. Another name Tattvavad, everything is true. Another philosophy. Mayavadis told, they said Advaita, that is, everything is one. Madhvacharya said Dvaita. It is two. It is not one. It is, therefore, he always raising his finger. This is also victory. But he is saying this is two. Then Mayavadi says there is no need of deity worship. Madhvacharya established elaborate deity worship in Udupi. So he was very against from his birth itself. Since his childhood days, we have heard many pastimes of Srila Madhvacharya many times. But today in the remaining time, first, I would like to tell some pastimes of how Madhvacharya defeated other philosophies. And then if we have time, we can go on to other pastimes. Srila Madhvacharya, he took birth in a place called Pajak Kshetra, Paje. It was 30 miles from Udupi. And his father, to have a son, would walk daily from Paje to Udupi. At that time, Udupi, there was not Udupi Krishna temple, there was Ananteshwar and Chandramoleshwar temples were present. So, Madhvacharya's father, Madhyageya Bhatt, would walk daily from Paje 30 miles to pray to Ananteshwar for a son and then go back. And till the time he reaches back, he would not eat anything. So, 30 miles walking, praying and 30 miles going back and then only eating. And this he did for 12 years to have a son like Madhvacharya. After the 12 years were over, he got some indications Once he got from the Lord, once in, when he was praying to Ananteshwar for a son, one man who was like a weird man, a madam, like we have something. They are normal in many cases, but sometimes they become, or they are a little bit abnormal. They are not fully mad. Sometimes one mad, he just climbed up the flagstaff of Ananteshwar temple. And he started shouting, one who is praying right now, his desires will be fulfilled immediately, within short time. And at that time, Madhyagaya Bhat was praying intensely for a child, because his previous child, few sons and a daughter, left their body at childhood days. So Madhyagaya Bhat could understand that, no, my desires are going to be fulfilled. And in due course of time, Madhyagaya Bhat had a son. We know Madhvacharya is a incarnation of Hanumanji and also of Bhim, so he was very strong. But in his childhood days, Madhyagaya Bhat gave the son's name to be Vasudev. His name was Vasudev in his childhood days. He was a very healthy boy. We know once he was only few weeks old or maybe few months old, and his mother gave Vasudev, baby Vasudev, to be taken care by his elder sister, and she was taking care, and then he started crying. At that time, his mother has soaked in water a kilo or two of chana, chickpeas, which are very difficult to digest for even most of us. We avoid that. But Madhvacharya, when he was only few months old baby, he went, he had not eaten anything. He was only drinking milk from his mother up till now. But he went and ate 2 kgs of chickpeas, chana. And when the mother came back, he saw, where is my chana? So chana is gone. He asked his sister, what has happened? He said, oh, this Vasudev ate everything. And then mother became very worried. Small baby who has not used to eat anything has eaten 2 kgs of chana, but he easily digested it. Many times, he said, name of Bhima was Vrukodhar. He has very strong fire of digestion. Then once, I will go ahead to the relevant pastimes today and then come back to other pastimes after some time. Once, in Madhvacharya's mother's village, Neyapalli, this Neyapalli is around 2-3 kilometers from Udupi. In that village, there was a festival taking place. And Vasudev was, at that time, Vasudev was about 3-4 years old. And Madhvacharya's mother, father, all had gone to that village for festival. And all the people were happy doing their social life in village for the festival, meeting each other. But Vasudev did not find any interest in that. So 3 years old boy, he started walking. First he went to the Narayan temple. And he slipped from the hands of his father. And he went to Narayan temple in another village called Kuduvur. And he offered his obeisances. Then he went further to another village called Tunde Kunde. And there he offered obeisances to Lord Shiva. Then he went further to Udupi and offered obeisances to Ananteshwar temple. And he was sitting there taking darshan of Ananteshwar. Here, Madhyagaya Bhat, he became anxious. He started thinking, oh, where is our son gone? Maybe he's lost in the festival. The search in the whole festival area, Vasudev was not to be seen. Then they became anxious. Oh, my son has been lost. They started frantically searching for the son, but he could not be found. Then somebody told, said, oh, I was coming from Udupi to Neyapalli. And in the midway, I saw a small 3-4-year-old boy, unaccompanied by anyone, walking like a lion with confident step and going ahead. So immediately Madhyagaya Bhat understood, this is my son. He immediately went to Udupi, which was few kilometers away, and suddenly found his son in the Ananteshwar temple. He asked, Oh Vasudev, how you came here? You're a small boy. How you came alone? Vasudev said, no, I never came alone. In the first stage of my journey, Lord Narayan accompanied me to Kuruvayur. In the next stage of my journey, Lord Shiva accompanied me. And in the third stage of my journey, Lord Ananteshwar accompanied me to this place. I never came alone. Always the Lord was with me. Anyway, Madhyagaya Bhat took Vasudev. He could not understand his words. Took him and came back to his village, his mother's village, Neyapalli, where the festival was going on. At that time, one Shaivite came to this temple and he started speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam. And he started speaking in the wrong ways. A small 4-year-old boy, or maybe 5-year-old boy, he immediately stood up, raised his hand, and spoke back. He told, "You are making mistakes here, here, and there." And he explained the correct meaning in such a way that all the elderly people and even the speaker was convinced of his mistakes. And all the people were wonderstruck. How come he is such an elderly person, experienced, many years old, his hairs are turning white, and this boy whose hairs are growing, he is correcting such an elderly person, scholar, and in a convincing way, so that all the elders, all the village people are convinced, even the speaker is convinced. So in this way, Madhvacharya started defeating the wrong philosophies right from his childhood days. Then, once he was very expert in wrestling also, and all the sports. He was always taking part in running, swimming, wrestling. He was champion in all. In running race, he would be always first, way ahead. In swimming, he would be ahead. He would wrestle with 15 people, 15 of his boys of his age at one time, and defeat all of them. Once, he was a bit inattentive in his father Madhyagaya Bhatt enrolled him in a school of his village, and he was learning. In the childhood days, his father was teaching his ka, kha, ga, ga, the syllables, the vowels. And he said, "Why, father, you are teaching me the same vowels every day? One day is enough to learn the language." So immediately, father, seeing his intelligent nature, he enrolled him into the school. And one day in the school, Vasudeva was a bit inattentive. He was not paying attention to what is being taught, lecture, in the class. And his teacher immediately chastised him. "Oh, Vasudev, why are you inattentive? You are not paying attention to the lessons." Then Vasudev stood up and he repeated the whole lesson verbatim. And the teacher he could not speak anything. Because although externally Vasudev was inattentive, but all the lessons were verbatim with him. Then he tried to teach Narayana Upanishad to the class. Narayana Upanishad, if you don't know, is a very long, very big Upanishad. It is one of the longest Upanishad. But just by once hearing from his teacher, Madhvacharya repeated the whole Upanishad again. And he also could speak many Upanishads without hearing even once. Now, he did not hear Upanishads from his teacher, but he could speak them. Narayana Upanishad, he taught, he learned in the one way, and then his teacher of that village was teaching Narayana Upanishad. But even while teaching Narayana Upanishad, he made some mistake. And Madhvacharya, as a student, immediately stood up in a humble way, here certainly, of course, and pointed out the mistake and corrected the teacher. And teacher was very happy. He said, "I am very grateful for pointing out this mistake. I understand that now within two or such years, you have learned everything what I can teach you. And now I request you and I encourage you to go ahead to another teacher, more qualified. And I don't want any Guru Dakshina because your correction of my explanations is my Guru Dakshina. You corrected my mistakes and I accept that as my Guru Dakshina. Please, you can go ahead to another teacher, qualified teacher." And Madhvacharya Vasudev, then he went to Udupi, to Anandeshwar temple, to the ashram of Achyut Preksha. At that time, he was a big, renowned leader, renowned spiritualist. Externally, he was a Mayavadi. He was externally speaking Mayavad's philosophy. But once, Achyut Preksha's guru, I don't know his name, maybe Nityan, you know his name. Achyut Preksha's guru, seeing Achyut Preksha, a very nice, gentle, sense-controlled, sincere person, a gentleman, Achyut Preksha's guru called on to Achyut Preksha. Although they were both propounding Mayavad philosophy, his guru told Achyut Preksha, he said, "Oh, Achyut Preksha, follower of all rigorous vows, never believe in this baseless, irrational philosophy propounded by Mayavadis. The Mayavadis say, 'I am Param Brahma, there is nothing other than this Param Brahma, everything is one.' But I can see, neither I have realized this philosophy and neither any of my predecessors have realized this philosophy. So please, I have come to this conclusion at the end of my life. But you, O Achyut Preksha, don't believe in this philosophy even for a second. Please take shelter of Mukunda. He said, the identity of Jiva and Paramatma are different. But no of our predecessor Acharyas could give this explanation. Today I tell you that, oh, you just go and with great delight serve Mukunda, the bestower of bliss, and by his mercy you can attain the absolute knowledge. In this way, from this day on, although Achyut Preksha was externally still speaking Mayavad somewhat, but he started worshipping Lord Ananteshwar from his heart and devotion. Ananteshwar spoke to him that one day a man will come to your ashram and he will give you correct knowledge all about me. So wait for that day. And then Vasudev, when he passed his school of his village, Vasudev, he came to Udupi to Achyut Preksha's ashram. And he wanted to take sannyas. He wanted to stay there and learn more. So he came, he told his parents, I'm just going to Udupi for a short time, 1 year training, and I will come back home after some time. And this is a trick which has been followed since our parampara. We are following in Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya parampara. So one, for some training, but Madhva Vasudeva came, and then his father said, oh, the promised days has passed. Some more time has elapsed. Vasudeva is not coming back. So he became anxious. He came to Udupi, to Achyut Preksha's ashram, and started requesting Vasudeva and giving all logical answers. He said, a son's duty is to take care of his parents. We have no other son. We are old. Who will take care of us? How can you take sannyas? But Vasudeva was not budging from his determination. And to go to the extreme, his father fell at the feet of Vasudeva. I request you, I fall at your feet, but please come back home. Your mother is crying, she is sick. But Vasudeva said, I am not going to change my decision. And the fact that you have offered me obeisances, you are elder, you are my father. Father can never offer obeisances to the son, in the sense by etiquette. Only when if the son takes sannyas, the father can offer obeisances to the son. And the very fact that you have offered me obeisances, that means you are ready and you are accepting me as sannyasi. Somehow other Vasudeva was not convinced. And Madhyagya Bhat has to go back home. And his home, the atmosphere was full of sorrow and grief. All were crying. And I don't know what happened that time, but at the present day, the neighbors were coming and taunting. And we told you, don't allow your son to go to Hare Krishna. But you did not listen to us at that time. And then Madhyagya Bhat thought, let me give a second try. Second try is also there. So let me give a second try. The Madhyagya Bhat started coming to Udupi again. But then he heard that Achyut Preksha with his disciples had gone to South India Yatra. They are on the banks of river Netravati. There is a river Netravati. So the Madhyagya Bhat turned his direction and went to search where Achyut Preksha was camping on the bank of river Netravati. He was in a village called Kariyur. And then Madhyagya Bhat went to him, and that the first time we see Madhyagya was in a pleading way, but this time he was in an angry mood. He said, oh Vasudev, if you don't come back home right now, and if you wear the clothes of sannyasi, the kopin of sannyasi, I promise, I vow that I will commit suicide right now. Vasudev immediately took up the sannyasi cloth and put it on his body. Says, if you are saying, see, I won the clothes of sannyasi. You go, I went ahead with my decision, you also go ahead with your decision. You go and commit suicide, let me see. Suddenly, his father did not do that. So same thing, the history repeats, cyclic movements. History repeats itself. The things happen again and again. Vasudev started praying, Madhyagya Bhat said, okay, he said, I'll use another instrument. New astra. He said, oh, my dear Vasudev, you see, I am your father. I am learned scriptures. I read it. Somehow that I can tolerate. You taking sannyas. You are the only son. But what of your mother? She is crying since you are here. How can I explain to her? What about your mother? Vasudeva said, okay, I will take care of mother, but at least you agree. You give me blessings now. You give me permission to take sannyas. Father said, yeah, I may give, that's okay. In such a way he gave. Mother said, don't worry, I will take care of mother. And then he said, I have no other son. After his father agreed, Vasudeva or Madhvacharya, he went home once. And then he told his mother, mother, please give me blessings to take sannyas. Mother said, how can I give? It's impossible. You are my only son. Mother said, okay, you will have another son. If you have another son, then you should give me blessings. Mother said, okay, if I get a son, I will give blessings. Mother said, okay. He said, okay, I will go to my ashram and I will come back after some time. Madhvacharya went to Achyut Peksha ashram again. And again, in an amazing way, because generally it was difficult for Madhvacharya's mother to conceive children, but she became pregnant. And even she gave birth to a brother, son. After the brother took birth, Madhvacharya came back to his home. He said, oh my mother, please give me permission and blessings to take sannyas. Still, mother could not change the decision. She said, no, it's not possible. And some reason. But then Madhvacharya was firm this time. He said, if you give me blessings, I will stay in Udupi and at least you can meet me and hear about me. But if you don't give me blessings, then I will go somewhere and we will not meet for our remaining life. Hearing this, the mother gave, okay, permission. Okay, you can go and take sannyas. So father's permission was already there and mother's permission came. So in this way, Vasudev came and he took sannyas and his name was Purnapragna. Then his guru Achyut Preksha was also once giving lecture on some scripture which is mentioned, Ishta Siddhi. And immediately, Purnapragna found 32 faults in the opening verses of his guru. He was in a humble mood. Achyut Preksha says, I can't teach Purnapragna. Then Madhvacharya spoke on the same topic and he corrected the book which was written by his guru. But then his guru asked, how can you be so confident? At one time, we see sometimes there are variations in Srimad Bhagavatam readings. There are a few different verses in different Bhagavatams. Some verses, little bit here and there. Sometimes there are chapter difference. So, one time, Achyut Preksha and his ashram, they were discussing the variations in reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Madhvacharya pointed out to one version. He said, this is the correct version. And he gave arguments for it. But Achyut Preksha asked, how can you be so confident? Immediately, Madhvacharya started speaking the fifth canto, the present text. The prose section is difficult to remember Sanskrit verses. And it's difficult for us to read the prose section. We avoid. We just go on to the translation and speak the purport and discuss. But Madhvacharya spoke the whole prose verses perfectly. And Achyut Preksha was observing whatever Madhvacharya was speaking, or at that time Purnapragna was speaking, he was sticking perfectly to one of the readings. And he was not reading from other variant readings. And he said, this is the correct reading. So, Achyut Preksha asked, how are you so sure that this I know from my past lives? I read this and this is the correct reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, after this incident, Achyut Preksha enthroned Madhvacharya, or at that time Purnapragna, as the successor Acharya of his mutt. And his name became Anand Tirtha. And then Madhvacharya took a South India tour. He defeated many scholars. Once two Buddhists came to defeat him. Arguably, he said, oh, he's become very popular. Let us go and defeat. Defeat Anand Tirtha or Madhvacharya. And this Buddhist came and they said, oh, we want to challenge you, debate with you. But they said, okay, we'll debate tomorrow. These Buddhists were very enthusiastic. He said, why tomorrow? Let us have a debate right now. But they said, okay, let us continue. Let us begin. And by the evening, Madhvacharya thoroughly defeated this Buddhist. And they said, okay, don't worry, you study your books. We'll continue tomorrow. But being utterly defeated and having no arguments, the same night these Buddhists ran away. And they were not there till the next day. But still, all these people would challenge Madhvacharya that you don't have a commentary. So you have to write Brahma Sampradaya commentary.
your Bhashya. There are many stories where Madhvacharya defeated many people. Once, he was in one place in South India and people were discussing one sukta from Aitreya Upanishad, Aitreya Shakha. And Madhvacharya said, this is the wrong meaning. And he gave his correct meaning. Madhvacharya was explaining this Aitreya Upanishad, and opponents came into the discussion. And they said, this is wrong meaning. And they gave some different meaning. Madhvacharya said, you see, actually all the hymns of Vedas have three meanings. All the verses of Mahabharata have 10 meanings. And each word of Vishnu Sahasranam has 100 meanings. So they challenge. Is this true? They challenge, opponents challenge. So he said, your meaning may be true, but this is the higher meaning. Is this true? We challenge you, you take any word from Vishnu Sahasranam and explain it in 100 ways, if you say so. Madhvacharya said, okay, I'll explain you in 100 ways, but you should be able to remember them and repeat them after I speak. So he said, okay, begin. And Madhvacharya took the first word, Vishnu. And he started explaining Vishnu in 100 ways, one way, two way. But within short time, his opponents could not keep in memory all the explanations. And they accepted defeat. So in this way, Srila Madhvacharya, he returned to Udupi. He took an extensive tour of South India, defeating many, many different philosophies, Buddhists, Mayavadis, and all these philosophies. He came to Udupi, and then, on the orders of Vyasdev, he wrote the commentaries. When he was back on his journey on the banks of Godavari, there were many philosophers of six different philosophies. He defeated them, and the leader of them, he made his disciple, a great preacher, one of the eight important disciples, Shobhan Bhatta. Then, one day while coming back from Badrinath, he met one Shudra king. And this Shudra king, he challenged. He said, what is this? The Vedic scriptures are useless. Their mantras have no power. And if you say the mantras had power, but today there is no one who can chant the mantras in such a way to exhibit the full power of Vedic mantras, then even though they may be correct, but they are irrelevant now. Because nobody is there who can practice the Vedic scriptures. So the Shudra king, he was like against the Vedic culture, and he was trying to defeat the Vedic culture in this way. So Madhvacharya says, okay, that is so. So he requested the Shudra king to get some peas against some chanas in his hand. He got some chanas, and Madhvacharya took the chanas like this and chickpeas, and he chanted the Vedic mantras. And right in front of the king, the Vedic mantras, by the effect of the mantras, the peas, they started sprouting. They became plants. They became full-grown plants. And they had fruits, like more fruit in the sense, the flowers and then fruits of their own type. And just within some few minutes, right in the hands of Madhvacharya. So in this way, he defeated this Shudra king. He was very strong, so sometimes wrestlers would come to challenge him. So once two wrestlers. They came to challenge him. And Madhvacharya began his kirtan. He was a very excellent singer. So Madhvacharya challenged the wrestlers, both of them. And one of them, you come and try to push or what we can call, choke my throat. And another, you lift my leg. And someone, he told you, try to pull my hairs. So all of these wrestlers came. Madhvacharya was singing very beautifully. And one wrestler, they were very powerful. They came and one started to choke the throat of Madhvacharya with all his strength. Another came and he tried to pull the hairs of Madhvacharya with all his strength. Another came and he tried to disturb the feet of Madhvacharya, tried to pull or even move the feet of Madhvacharya by 1 inch, by 1 millimeter, by all his strength. But nothing could happen. Madhvacharya went on singing beautifully. Although one person was trying to choke his throat, but Madhvacharya was singing excellently. Another person was trying to pull his hair. We know so much pain is there. But No, he could not even pluck one hair. But Madhvacharya, in fact, Madhvacharya started singing in a more and more beautiful way, more and more higher pitch. As these wrestlers were trying to put in more energy, he was increasing the pitch of his singing. In this way, wrestlers got defeated and they left away. So in this way, we see Srila Madhvacharya. There are many more stories. He defeated many of such, all other philosophies, gurus, Buddhists, Mayavadis, and his main aim was to defeat Mayavad philosophy from the India. And he established that. He established Dvaita philosophy, and from his time, he would again challenge Mayavadis, and in this way, he established Dvaitavad, Vaishnavism, all over India. So today is his appearance day, and we can pray to him so that we can be also established in the proper Vaishnava philosophy, and we can also be empowered to have the Vaishnava knowledge which is given to us by previous acharyas, beginning from Madhvacharya, and be fixed in our philosophy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Rakarish Prabhu has one question or comment. We can take some. One.
Thank you for a nice analysis of the circular movements. You mentioned that material world is circular and in spiritual world things are linearly growing. But that is not possible because in the spiritual world also things have to be circular. Because material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Only thing, as Prabhupada says, is anti-material. So if this circle is moving in a particular direction, where the countdown is going down, then that circle probably is moving in the opposite direction, where things with the movement are going upwards. So it cannot be linear, it has to be also circular. Because even there also, there is day and night, there's Ashtakaliya Leela of the Lord, things are happening in a circular way. But because the effect of time is not there, conspicuous by effect of time is not there, so it doesn't happen the way it happens here. It in fact goes on increasing. That is my feeling.
Yeah, that's correct. Maybe I should have clarified that. This linear movement was especially connected to the material body. The yantra is, the material body is moving in the material world in the circular way. And also, what you said is very correct. I agree with it, but also, the linear movement was in terms of the qualities of happiness, eternity, and which we desire in this world. The activities are there, certainly full of the activities. That is, and day and night are there, but there is no effect of day and night as we have in this material world. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.